Well, good morning. Welcome to City Church. My name is Don. I'm one of the elders here. It is a joy to meet you. I'm glad that you have chosen to come before the throne together. You know, we are blessed every Sunday morning with a wonderful praise team, are we not? Yeah, they do a wonderful job. In fact, as I noticed in the first service, they pretty much preached my message today, so we're done. We can go. Everything we just sang is everything I wanted to share with you.
Okay, so, tell us again.
The Holy Spirit is at work here. Tell us again, huh? All right, I'll tell you again. I'll word it in my words. So. But yeah, anyway, if you are here, if you're visiting with us, we are thankful that you're here. We really are. And we would love for you, if you wouldn't mind, to come out. There's a right in the middle of the church as you walked in, there's a welcome table. Stop by there. One of our pastors, one of our elders will be there to greet you, just to get to know your name, learn how we can pray. For you to see the warmth that all of us here at City Church already know, that this is a very loving church and it's a family. Yes. We're a family. We're glad you're here, and we hope that you would consider joining our family here. Today we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 6. As I was preparing the sermon, it came to mind, how do I illustrate the truth of this text? And you know what the Lord brought to mind is trapeze artist. Trapeze artist, there are two people involved. There's the flyer and the catcher. And the flyer has one job to do. One job to do. Place radical faith in the catcher. And the experience and the knowledge and the ability of the catcher. Flying without a net, certain to face death if the catcher doesn't do what he's able to do. The flyer has one job as he throws himself out into the air. It's to remain perfectly still. Perfectly still, and place radical trust in the ability of the catcher. And that's what we see here in Daniel chapter 6. Last week, Pastor Ryan led us through and taught us from Daniel chapter 5. So we see from Daniel 5 that the last king of Babylon, Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, is told by his queen to ask for Daniel's counsel. Guys, listen to your wives. It was the night of Babylon's fall in 539 BC. And it occurred when Daniel was called to read the handwriting on the wall. And Daniel in chapter 5 teaches us that he who holds your breath in his hands, God holds our very next breath in his hands. That's who he is. And Daniel's called to this banquet hall of Belshazzar. God uses Belshazzar to teach us once again that the worship of false gods leads to judgment. And that God alone is worthy, and he will not share his glory with anyone or anything. And it leads us to chapter 6 today, where we see at the end of chapter 5, we learn that after a night of partying, the king of the Chaldeans was ultimately slain because of his false worship, because he dishonored God, brought the things that were intended for worship and brought them into dishonoring use. And a 62-year-old king named Darius the Mede receives the kingdom that very night. So after these Persians become rulers over Babylon and its entire empire, what we see is the new king, Darius, is prepared to make Daniel the governor over everything. And pride and fear lead Daniel's enemies to take action into their own hands and to try and destroy him. If you're able, would you stand with me out of reverence to the Word of God as I read through Daniel chapter 6? It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give an account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no fault for complaint or any fault because he was faithful. And no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign this document so it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks. Gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king, concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said, O king, know, O king, that this is the law of Medes and Persians, that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. And the king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid to the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at the daybreak, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions. And they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found in him because he had trusted his God. And the king commanded that those who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the lion's den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones to pieces. Then the king Darius wrote to all the people, the nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of King Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Father, we thank you for the privilege to have your word in a language we can understand, and that's written in such a way that, Father, your spirit will guide us into the truth. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill us, guide us, help us to hear from you this morning, and may what we hear be lived out through our lives the rest of this week. As we go forward from here, we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Please be seated. So I want to look today and begin looking at the character of radical trust. The text says, but they could find no ground for complaint in Daniel or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Daniel demonstrated integrity in his private life and in his public life. He wasn't a different man depending on the circumstances. Daniel was given by God an extraordinary spirit, it says, and favor with the king, and the king had set him over the empire and wanted to set him over the entire empire because Daniel, he knew Daniel to be a faithful man. Daniel was faithful in public and private life and found blameless and faithful by God and man. others who were chosen by the king, they were jealous of Daniel, jealous of his faithfulness, jealous of his private and his public faithfulness to the one true God. Here's the big point of this text. It's that our trust in God is witnessed by others through our godly character and our faith-filled actions. Our love for God is demonstrated by our response of faith and radical trust in him versus looking to and the fear of our circumstances controlling us to do something different. Life circumstances will often provide us the opportunity to apply our own logic. But if our logic would lead us to go against what God has revealed to us, Scripture teaches us to deny ourselves and trust God. What was true for Daniel is still true for us. Our circumstances will commonly require for us to slow down, press the pause button, and take time to come before our holy God. Come before him, recognizing who he is and what he is able to do, and praying for him to reveal to us our right response to the circumstances. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. It's interesting, the prophet Ezekiel makes a powerful statement about 3 men of God who had radical trust in God. Ezekiel 14, verse 12. And the word of the Lord came to me, the prophet Ezekiel. Son of man, when a land sins against me by acting faithlessly, and I stretch out my hand against it and break its supply of bread and send famine upon it, and cut off from it man and beast, even if these 3 men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would be delivered, but their own lives would be by their righteousness, declares God. The scripture teaches us about the time that these men lived, a time when the men on earth were disobedient. The men in these people's lives were, and the people in their lives were disobedient to God. Job's wife says, curse God and die. And Job says, even if he slays me, I'll trust him. Noah lives in a time when people grieved God so bad he was going to destroy man who he had created. But Noah and his family were found righteous. Noah, do you know it had never rained when he was building this big boat? It had never rained. He had to look nutty, huh? But God told him to do it. And with radical trust in God, Noah built the boat. And that's how his family was delivered. Not by the boat, but because of Noah's obedience to build the boat before it had rained. There was a time when these 3 men, as the scripture describes to us, real men. This isn't some storybook. This is the truth revealed by God. These were real men living real lives of faith in real circumstances, challenged by the people and the circumstances around them. And they were all free to make choices. They could choose to obey or disobey. And they each trusted God in these radical circumstances, and they were delivered through the circumstances by their faith because of their trust in God. Their character and their actions revealed how well they knew God. They knew he was faithful, and they trusted their very lives and the lives of their family to him. And for me, as I'm looking at this text, it just begs the question, how well do I know God? Do I know him and his character so personally that I'm willing to lay my life on the line for it? For his reputation, for his glory, and ultimately, as strange as it might sound, for our good. There is no substitute. There's no shortcut. Knowing the Word of God leads us to knowing the God of the Word. And we can come to know him personally, just as these men did. As the Word of God was revealed to them, they acted by faith and trust in what they knew and who they knew. And you know, like many of you here today, I have learned to trust God in difficult circumstances, in the challenges of life. I've come to know him to be faithful, to be sovereign over everything, to just as many of you have too. When I was a baby Christian, the circumstances were difficult. I came to faith when I was 27 years old. And the opportunities that God presented me with, they were simpler, it seems, at the time. You know, at the time, they looked like mountains to conquer. But the reality was God brought circumstances in my life to build me up, to grow me, to mature me in the faith, so that I could one day teach others to do the same. And just like many of you, I've learned that God doesn't want me to fail. He wants to draw me closer to him, to know him more intimately, to know his power and his ability to rescue from everything and anything. And God wants me to apply what I've learned, to live it out in my private and my public life. You know, it's God who gives us faith. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, you see, we received the grace, right? It's a free gift of God, as Paul tells the Ephesians church. He says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You see, God is just expecting us to do what, to live out what he's provided for us in our lives. And many of us here have learned this. We've grown in our faith. We've grown in our trust, and we know him to be the sovereign God because God continually gives us opportunities to exercise our faith. Faith is like a muscle. You develop it by exercising it. And I can testify that through these opportunities that have become more difficult, you know? Yeah, it seems, wow, I'd rather have the easy ones because I look back and I go, well, those were easy, right. Right? But God gives us those challenges, those opportunities to trust him because he wants to build us up in our faith. And build up our witness and our ability to testify, to give glory to him with increasing boldness in Christ. What does this uncompromising devotion to God look like? Daniel was living in a corrupt system with men who were opposed to him for no good reason. They just chose not to like him. And there are people like that in our lives. And he was in a corrupt system. Intentionally created, the circumstances were intentionally created by evil men. Men who would prefer that Daniel would be like them, not be faithful, and surrender to his circumstances like they would. But this is the truth. The radical trust developed through knowing God means standing firm when it's unpopular. There are times when God has called me to do things that he told nobody else about. Kind of like Noah. Not that I'm Noah, don't hear me comparing myself. He's a great man of faith. I have room to grow. but the truth is that it means standing firm even when it's unpopular. How did Daniel learn to have such trust in God? What did Daniel read? What did God reveal to him as he revealed himself? Daniel, reading what was written 400 years before this time, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. We come to know God through his revealed word to us. We come to know God as Daniel came to know God through prayer. We come to know God as we seek godly people to give us godly counsel that they learn from the Word of God and from their test of faith. And we come to know God through the circumstances that he allows in our life for us to live out the faith that he gives us. So, question for you. As we do our best to live this life of faith, is that evidenced to others? Do they see us living out our faith? Do they bear testimony? It says in Daniel 6:10 that when Daniel knew the document had been signed, he knew full well that this judgment against him, basically, had been signed. When he knew the document had been signed and he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chambers to open toward Jerusalem, he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks. He's going to be thrown in a den of lions, and he's giving thanks to God. And gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. You see, it was his consistent character. These wicked government officials, they knew what Daniel would do. They knew because Daniel was predictably faithful. Daniel was faithful. He continued his prayer routine, and everybody knew it. These satraps and the governors, verse 4 and 13, tell us that they tried to use his faithfulness against him. The king comes to Daniel and says, as before he throws him into the lion's den, he says, Daniel, may your God, whom you continually serve, deliver you. And then in verse 20, in a question form, as he comes to the den to see if Daniel is still alive at the break of dawn, he says, has your God, whom you continually serve, delivered you? And we see Daniel, he made a very intentional decision to be faithful to God. When our trust in God gets tested, we always have the choice between obeying God or pleasing man. And it's still true for us today. Acts chapter 4 tells us that in over 500 years, the world hasn't changed. Peter and John face a corrupt system, corrupt religious leaders, corrupt government, and they're told not to preach in the name of Jesus. And in Acts 4:19, Peter and John answered them and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you be the judge. But for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. They testified to who Jesus was. And what was happened with them is the same thing that happened with Daniel. Others were drawn to God in praise. Others were drawn to God in prayer. And others were drawn to radical faith and trust in God as well. What was true for Daniel, true for these apostles, is true for us. Radical trust in God results in radical accomplishments for God. William Carey, the great missionary to India, he's known as the father of modern missions. He's known to have quoted, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. You see, we live our lives in faith, not presumptively, but expecting that this God is who's the same yesterday, today, and forever will meet our faith for his glory and for our good. It was this radical trust that William Carey placed that God rewarded with great accomplishments. So where in Scripture do we learn about such radical trust? Where are we told about how to do this? The Apostle Paul, who knew a whole lot about persecution and suffering and difficult circumstances, he writes this to the church, to us, to the church. It's still true today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. You see, it begins in humility. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It's the work of God to have such radical trust. It's so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. With the fullness of God, you and I in Christ are filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We receive the strength for radical trust through our faith in the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus was our perfect example. Jesus, a man, fully God, walked the earth and showed us what complete dependence and obedience to the Father looked like. He modeled it with his life. The apostles modeled it with their life, and we get to model it with our lives. With the honest reality of our lives, the messiness, the brokenness, the hurt that's within us, and sometimes we even cause our sin. Sometimes even being unfaithful to God, we can still experience his forgiveness and do experience his forgiveness through the accomplished work of Christ on the cross. Jesus is our advocate before the Father. We don't need to defend ourselves. He does it for us. Daniel and all the Old Testament saints trusted in the promise of the Messiah who was to come. They had faith in Jesus. And all the New Testament saints, including you and me, have that same faith in Jesus, the Messiah who has come, just as God promised he would, and did all that God said he would, redeemed us from the curse of the law, redeemed us from our own failures and brokenness, and made us his children. It's all the same faith in the same Savior. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you've been kind of skipping across the bottom, but you've never taken the time. You've never taken the intentionally decided, you know what? It's time, God. I'm going to bow my knees before you. I look at my life. This is what happened to me. I look at my life and the mess I was making, and I just said, God, I give up. I give up. Help me. And this God of Daniel and our God today lifted me up out of that miry pit, made me his child, cleansed me. We can't cleanse ourselves. You're not going to do enough good to cleanse yourself to come before the holy God. That's why we needed Jesus to do it for us. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Don, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but man, I don't know what to do. I'm there. I hear God. God called me here today, perhaps. And I believe that this message was for me because I need to bow my knee to him, but I'm not sure what to do. I need help. I ask you, I plead with you, please. As the scripture calls it, today might be the day of your salvation. And trust me, please trust me, that I and the other elders and other pastors here, we want to talk with you. We want to help you. We want to help you know what we know. Experience what we've experienced, that our faith and trust in God is well placed, perfectly placed. Would you please don't leave here today? Have the courage to come forward and just ask for help. If that describes you, would you please come and ask for help before you leave today? You see, there's a reward of radical trust here. Early in the morning, King Darius rushes to investigate, is Daniel alive in the den? And Daniel says, my God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. When required to trust, place his dependence on God, Daniel didn't resist. He didn't plead for his life. He trusted in God's faithfulness to deliver him through these circumstances. Radical trust is believing that God is able to deliver. What were the results of that radical trust? Well, King Darius writes this response because of Daniel's witnessed faith. He writes to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell on earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is a living God, enduring forever. And his kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. And he who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Daniel's vindication came through God's justice for his enemies. You see what happened there? It's not that the lions weren't hungry. Because these satraps and these governors and their wives and their children were thrown into the den, and they didn't hit the bottom before the lions attacked them. But Daniel went in there in faith, and God delivered him and shut the mouths of the lions and vindicated his faith, vindicated and brought justice for these people. God's glory is magnified by our faith. What are some of the challenges today where we have the opportunity to place radical trust in God? Maybe it's in relationships, marriage, children, work, neighbors. Maybe the struggle comes. I mean, relationships are hard. Maybe it's in the church. Maybe in your past something has happened in the church, and you're blaming God for that. Well, you know, what we learn from these satraps is that the inhumanity of man knows no limits, it seems. But God is faithful, and he can heal those broken relationships. Maybe it's your children. More than once, I said, God, why'd you give this kid to me for? What am I going to do with him? And what God has done is taught me through my children. I've learned better about who God is through my children as they've shown me how I've been faithless or how I've acted before my heavenly Father. Through my children, he teaches me lessons. Thank God we've raised them to adulthood. They're on their own. But maybe it's money. Maybe this radical trust comes because money's short, or maybe there's an abundance of money that's caused you to think you're dependent upon yourself. That's faulty logic. One thing I've learned is that God knows how to distress the comfortable, while he also knows how to comfort the distressed. So would you bow your heads? Maybe these are the circumstances that you're facing. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and just let me read the word of God over you? He says, put to death in Colossians, put to death, therefore, what is earthly within you. He teaches us from Colossians 3, do not lie to one another. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of its creator. Christ is all in all. If one has a complaint against another, forgive them as Christ forgives you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and do everything in the name of Jesus. We follow the model of the saints in Scripture. We follow what God has done, and we trust our lives to him. You know, one of the most important purposes of the church is to help one another live godly lives. The writer of Hebrews tells us, don't neglect meeting together as we are doing here today. The church established by Jesus, what we learn is that we were never meant to live life on our own. We can't live life on our own. We need the relationship with our Creator, and we need relationship with others. I was reminded as I prepared this of an illustration I once heard. A potter was asked, when you put the clay into the kiln, into the fire, how do you know that the pottery is done, that it's cured? And the potter says, oh, that's easy. When I pull it out, it's singing. Well, it begged the next question. If it's not singing, what do? He says, well, I put it back in the fire. Do you know that we, the redeemed in Christ, have the privilege to sing the song of redemption? Angels cry holy, creation cries holy, but the redeemed in Christ have the privilege to sing the song of redemption. It's only us. It's the song of heaven. So when God heats up our life, he heats up our life. May we be found thankful for the circumstances, even if it's a sacrifice of praise. Because he might just put us back in the fire if we haven't learned the lesson. But trust me, my brothers and sisters, friends, God is able and he is faithful. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the promises that you always fulfill because you never change. Trust our lives to you. Help us this week to live out these truths that you taught us today. We ask in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa. For the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world. Oh, you say.